This is Bob, Groz, and Tom.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio and streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Hour number two of Bob, Groz, and Tom as we continue to talk Mariners. And who better to discuss what took place last night with than the skipper who joins us now on the Venue Kings hotline. Scott Service is with us. Scott, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing really good. I mean, that was fun as a fan, as a broadcaster to watch. But as a manager, I'm curious, because you've been in there as a player. We were watching actually some highlights of you with Daryl Kyle and that whole thing. And now you're on the other side of it where you're not a participant, so to speak, but you're in the middle of it. How different were those two moments for you?
Actually, there's a lot alike. I mean, it gets to be a little nerve-wracking. Probably a little bit worse in the dugout than actually on the field, because you have no control and you're not really involved in it as much. But really happy for James Paxton and really our whole ball club. We were so into it last night. You saw the great defensive plays behind him. But everybody in the dugout, guys in the bullpen, the coaching staff, it was fun to see. It was fun to see it play out the way it did. And, you know, you never know. I've been to quite a few of them as well, that you get into the ninth inning and somebody dinks a hit in there, or you make a mistake with a pitch. And, you know, you got to have catch a few breaks, have a little luck on your side. And we did last night. But the big thing was, you know, Pax has been just dominating the last couple times out. It's been fun to watch.
What has he done differently? What has been the change? I mean, he's always been there. We saw great performances from him last year. But obviously something has changed in the last couple of weeks. What is it in your mind, Scott?
Well, I think that, you know, early in the year we saw his pitch count just kind of get elevated quickly. It was a lot of deep at bats, you know, the 7, 8, 9 pitch at bats. And, you know, last night in particular, he got a few outs early in the count. He got a double play ball that was huge in that ball game. We saw last night really for the first time, the curveball became a real factor for him. He threw some good ones, probably through the middle innings, the 5th, 6th, 7th inning. I thought Zunino did a really good job to kind of work that pitch in to his repertoire at that point. You know, the previous outing with the 16 strikeouts was predominantly done with the fastball. He just had an electric fastball that night. And what you've seen the last couple outings is he's getting ahead in the count kind of at the bottom of the zone with the fastball and then elevating it late in the count. So kind of the north-south, up and down within the strike zone has really been key for him. But last night you saw the curveball come into play, so he had the north-south plus the back and forth, which is so huge for any pitcher.
At 99 pitches, Scott, were you secretly relieved that you didn't ever have to debate taking him out of the game?
I'm not taking him out if he's got a no-hitter.
All right, I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, my gosh, come on. You got to be... He had plenty in the tank last night. You saw the adrenaline kick in the ninth inning as Josh Donaldson was at the plate. And, you know, he probably, you know, 98, 99 miles an hour. It was great to see.
Hey, Scott, in watching everything that took place last night, I mean, we're all raving, of course, about Paxton. The defense was spectacular, whether you want to talk about Seager or D. Gordon or Gamble or Segura or Healy. I mean, it was so fun to watch. But I'm curious, just as a former catcher and watching Zunino call that game last night, and often you'll see catchers look to the dugout and get some of the calls from the dugout. I'm wondering, was it different last night when a pitcher's rolling that way? Or how involved was the coaching, you Mel, in calling the game, or was that just strictly Zunino and Paxton working their way through it?
Well, it's Zunino and Paxton last night. Obviously, you know, Mel and Jim Brower and our pitching coaches will sit down before the game and go over game plans. But Paxton's unique. He kind of takes it to the other team. He doesn't get too caught up in the strengths and weaknesses of the hitter. He tries to stay with his strength. He can do that maybe more than others just because he throws so darn hard. And he's got just special stuff when it's on. But, you know, probably during the course of the game, I was always sitting next to Mel when our guys are on the mound. And we're going back and forth. Hey, let's elevate here. We should go down here. But that's just me and Mel talking, you know, as the game goes through. We just got our minds are working. And last night we were right on the same page, you know, with what Z was doing with Pax. And like I said, when it's smoothly moving along like that, it is really fun to watch. And, you know, the guys in the field, I thought the reaction from Ryan Healy on a couple of the plays at first base was great to see. You could really see how our entire team was so into it.
Are you a superstitious guy, and when did you start thinking no-hitter?
Crazy. So, if you remember back, Paxton walked a couple guys in the third inning.
Right.
And it was kind of looked out of sorts. And, you know, I was a little frustrated in the fact that I just thought that he had really good stuff last night. And, you know, I typically don't talk a lot to the starting pitcher during the game. I may relay some things through Mel, and Mel will go to the starting pitcher. I stay out of it. But last night, and after the third inning, I went down, and Mel was talking to him, and I just said, Pax, this is your – I just said to him, this is your game. Go win it. You know, and my point there was, like, let's go. Let's get after it. And I really thought he had the stuff to get through, you know, seven – eight innings last night. I wasn't thinking no-hitter in the third inning, but I think once we got about to the fifth inning, you look up, there's no hits, and you see where things are going and how the ball game was kind of moving along. I thought, hey, he might have a shot here. And then, you know, Seager made the great play and a couple catches, and it was all starting to line up.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the reactions out there, Healy. We saw that pretty clearly on TV there. Was there a buzz in the dugout about it? Obviously, you leave Paxton alone, but were they pretty into it in the dugout?
Nobody said a word. It was the beauty of it. And my bench coach, Manny Acta, has a way of always kind of stating the obvious, and he likes to throw the jinx out there, whatever. And it was so hard for him to keep his mouth shut last night, which was so funny. he wrote on a ball and he flipped me the ball. See, I told you I wouldn't say anything. it is a long season. You get to know the people you're working with so well. And when you get moments like that, it's so fun to see people's personalities come out, and everybody really enjoy it.
You know, and again, just getting back to the defense, I mean, Seager with the obvious plays, I think D. Gordon has been such a pleasant surprise. Obviously, what he's done, you know, with the bat was no surprise. That's what you expected. But playing center field is new for him. And for him to make the catches he did, and everybody talked about how the lights are difficult there, and you saw him kind of battling that, I think – that gets a little undersold in this whole thing, you know, because of Seager's spectacular play. But D. Gordon made some really nice catches last night that I don't know that he's getting the credit for.
No, he really did. And I know, D has had a couple games where the ball right over his head has given him a little trouble at times. But, you know, we knew going into this thing it was going to be some great highlight reel type catches. There would be some other balls that maybe just didn't get a great read on. And especially the most difficult ball is that one right over your head. But I thought he played great last night. The jumps were good. And when you're that fast, guys, you don't really need to get a good jump. Just figure out where the ball's at and turn the jets on and go get it. So, Diaz has been awesome in our clubhouse. We see what he does, you know, on the field, swinging the bat, on the base pass. It's been a great shot in the arm. And the energy he brings every day, it's really contagious.
I want to ask you a question about the no-hitter you caught. How did Daryl Kyle throw a no-hitter throwing just 85 pitches?
That was a September no-hitter, and did not have they had some younger guys in their lineup, and Daryl had a great curveball going. It was unbelievable. Or, you know, Pax is more fastball oriented. That night with Daryl, it was tremendous curveball, and I think a lot of what Zunino felt with Paxton is kind of what I had felt with Daryl Kyle. I'd come up in the minor leagues together with Daryl. Was very close, one of my best friends. And, it's a special moment in my career. Like, I'm sure Mike Zunino will never forget that moment last night.
I thought you were going to say the catcher called a great game.
No, the catcher is an important part of it all, but, it's really up to the guy on the hill. There's no doubt. I think going back to my days, I know Daryl and I used to joke a lot about, he wanted to shake me off at the end of that game, and I wouldn't let him. And Pete Harnish, who works with us here with the Mariners, I also caught Pete. Pete had a no-hitter going one day against the Cubs in Chicago, and he did shake me off and gave up a hit to Mark Grace, and it was a one-hitter. So it's crazy how it goes back and forth. But, it's the fun of the game. It's a back and forth, on the pitch selection and how you're going to execute it and whatnot. But, there's certain things you never forget in the game, and a no-hitter is certainly one of them.
You had a great win on Saturday night. Bunch of guys contributing, and then last night, obviously, Paxton with the defense behind him. Do you get the sense early that this team is just really willing to fight for one another out there?
No doubt. We have great camaraderie within our clubhouse. We have a diverse clubhouse, obviously, which is not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. The important thing is we let everybody be who they are, and I think our group is continuing to come together. I think it's only going to continue to get better. It certainly starts, from a leadership standpoint, but it takes more than one or two guys to be your leaders in a ball club. And I think everybody knows, the core of our club. It's Cano, Cruz, and Seager in the lineup every day. But, there's this other group that's coming with it, and that's where the Hannigers, the Zaninos, the Paxtons, the D. Gordons, those guys are huge for our ball club and the energy they bring. So I like where we're at as a ball club right now. We've got a lot to look forward to. We play in a very tough division. It's going to be very competitive all year, but it's going to be a fun summer of baseball. And I'm sure that, you know, I know we're excited about it here within our team, and I get a feeling that the people in Seattle are excited as well.
Hey, one more about last night, Scott, before we let you go. I'm just curious, in that ninth inning, you know, as you get down to the final outs, what are you, is it just butterflies in the stomach for you? Are you talking? Are you quiet? What are you doing? What are you feeling during that half inning right there?
Well, I'll share one quick. You know, I'm sitting next to Mel Stottlemyre, and Mel's a nervous wreck because he wants the no-hitter so bad for Paxton. And as we're going through the eighth inning, you know, the first ball is hit deep. Gamble makes a nice catch in left center. Then D. Gordon catches the second out, and you know, Pax gets the third out. And after he gets the third out, I go, Mel, he looks good to me. Send him back out. I'm trying to be light about it. Mel won't even, like, look at me. He won't crack a smile or anything. He just turns and walks away. You know, so. I think when it comes down to the final out, you know, you're always, you know, on the edge of your seat. You got butterflies hoping that, you know, you get a little lucky, hits a ball at somebody. And, you know, when I looked and saw Josh Donaldson was walking to the plate, I just said, oh, boy. Yeah. You know, of all the guys that had to be up right now, he's probably their best hitter. But we got it done, and good for Pax.
Hey, so just back to superstition. Do you just repeat everything that took place yesterday, food, wardrobe, Ichiro wearing batting gloves and wristbands and everything?
How about Ichiro, man? He's out. We're celebrating. I've seen a picture online today, and Ichi's got his hands up around our team, jumping up and down. Ichi's unbelievable. He's enjoying it, keeping things loose in our clubhouse. But, yeah, it'll be a – I told Mel, just hand Wade LeBlanc the same game plan you gave Pax, and we'll be fine. I wish it was that easy.
Yeah, but,
throw 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, LeBlanc does it a little bit differently, but you know, we've got our bullpen's been rested for a couple days, so we'll empty the pen if we have to tonight. Hopefully, get this ball game, win the series, and you know, keep going.
Well, Scott, it's been a lot of fun to watch so far. This is a very entertaining team, and last night was really special. Congratulations on that, and congratulations on the start to the season. And let's hope it continues. We look forward to talking again real soon.
Sounds good, guys. Really appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thanks,
there
he
is, Scott Service, manager of your Seattle Mariners, who's enjoying what took place last night.
Yeah, how could you not?
I think I would have been a nervous wreck.
If, like, you were the manager, or if you were...
If I were just a teammate, if I were a coach, I think I would have just been, you know, wringing my hands like, okay,
if I were,
we can do this.
Yeah, if I were in the field, I'd have been super nervous. And we'll ask Blowers a little bit about that later.
Yeah, because he's been part of it
as a
player.
Third baseman or a shortstop.
Absolutely, especially on that turf. That's not what they're used to playing on there. It's grass or dirt or whatever. That's not what... It's a lot tougher to feel balls jumping up at you like it was
with
Seager last night.
Well, and Seager on that final play, and again, we'll talk to Blowers, like you said.
It was a rocket.
That was hit hard. That was a short hop that he made look incredibly routine. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd probably clutch up on the throw. I might fire it straight into the dirt. He hit him right in the chest. I mean, it was a perfect throw. He made a tough play look routine. And as much as we talked about Seager yesterday. We were talking about some of the players you're a little disappointed in so far. Mine was Seager at the plate. But defensively, he's been a gem. And boy, on the heels of yesterday's conversation for him to do what he did last night, we talked about all the defensive plays, but his might be the most important.
It was, and I think that's one of those plays we have seen him make a bunch of times. I think the only knock against him is that he doesn't make some of the more routine ones. Mm-hmm. Like that one he made last night, I'm not taking anything away from it, but he's made a bunch of those before.
Yeah.
Right, so when he made it, I wasn't surprised. But when he made the throw without looking, that was something else.
It's going to help his what? What is it, ultimate zone rating?
You'd think.
UZR?
You would think it would.
It's shooting up now.
I would think that's how it works, but yeah. There you go.
Showed a lot of range.
Yeah. So there you go. Good stuff from Scott Service. And again, we'll talk to Mike Blowers coming up at 2 o'clock, a guy who's been involved as a player like Scott Service was in no-hitters, and get his perspective as a guy out there in the field. But you want to go through some of these Mariner top moments here?
Yeah, let's get some music, shall we?
Yeah. And this isn't every great moment from every team. Just a handful of the obvious ones.
Right, nor is it in order. We didn't do this in any kind of order. This is just sort of random.
Yeah.
Well, but there's a number one.
Well, then, yeah. And that's the first that's the first one you're going to hear.
All right. Well, here's the obvious
great
moment right here.
And the 0-1 pitch on the way to Edgar Martinez. Swung on the line down the left field line for a base hit. Here comes Joy. Here is Junior to third base. They're going to wave him in.
The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. I don't believe it. It just continues. My, oh, my.
The Edgar Double, 1995.
All right, so as of right now, Paxton's no-hitter compared to that one is number two.
Right.
Compared to that, yeah.
Compared to that.
As we continue down the
yes.
list. Yes. How about the Griffies, junior and senior, going back-to-back?
Well hit to center field. Devon White going back. Gone! A two-run home run.
And he can still hit anybody's fastball.
An instantaneous 2-0 Seattle lead. Center field, Dante Bichette, back-to-back home runs.
What else can these guys do?
Moment that has never been repeated in Major League Baseball history.
And probably never will be.
Probably never will be.
It's going to be real hard to repeat that one.
What about when Mike Trout Jr. joins the league?
Is there a Mike Trout Jr.? He'd have to
Not that I'm aware of,
I think.
He's a young guy.
He has to be on the way.
Yeah. Pretty darn quick.
I'm just thinking of the young players out there. Maybe it'll be Bryce Harper Jr.
You know what was kind of cool about that is, I think it was Ken Wilson on the call, was not saying anything and just hearing the crack of the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a 19-year-old hitting it there.
How about this one? Another one from 1995. I would love this call.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a ground ball up the first baseline, and it sneaks down by Snow. Down the right field line into the bullpen. Here comes Flowers. Here comes Tito. Here comes Joey. The front of the plate cut off. The relay by Langston. Gets on by Allison. Cora scores. Here comes Soho. He scores. Everybody scores.
I love that call.
I think that one, even more than the double, gives me chills.
I love that call.
Within almost a week of the double, too, by the way.
Everybody scores.
The disbelief in what just happened. Because that's, again, we talked about the most unbelievable plays you can see in a game.
Luis Soho of all
people. Yeah, Luis Soho in a one-game playoff, in what turns out to be basically an inside-the-park grand slam.
And who scored first?
Flowers.
That's right.
And then Tino and then Joey.
And then Soho lumbering around.
Unbelievable, too. I mean, the day after flying back, they sold 58,000 tickets in 24 hours.
Awesome.
Coming in from Texas and just playing the game. And then against Mark Langston.
Right.
Who's
former Mariner.
One of the original Mariners.
And a great pitcher in his own right.
How about this one? Ken Griffey Jr., and he's a common theme throughout their history, obviously, of great moments, but 8 consecutive games with a home run.
Ah, the Fairley call.
Well, all eyes are on this young man right now as he stands in. Griffey 0-for-2 tonight. And the first pitch from back is one. There it goes! See you later! Upper deck! Griffey has tied the Major League record! Holy cow, the kid has done it! Home runs in 8 consecutive games!
And he just trots around the bases like no big deal.
A great call by Fairley.
It is a fantastic call.
And another one where you hear the crack.
Yep.
Yeah. It sounds different.
It does.
I just like the delivery because he's just talking about, well, he's 0-for-2 tonight, blah, blah, blah.
There it goes. See you later.
That was awesome. Then we played you this one earlier, the first no-hitter in the history of this franchise.
A man all alone with himself, but not all alone here, as 24,000 incredibly rabid Mariner fans are looking for that final Sears wine. Here comes the left-hander's wine. The 0-2 pitch on the way. Swing! It's over! He has done it! High fastball, Randy Johnson being mobbed by Scott Bradley down to greet him and the entire Mariner team. Randy Johnson with the first Mariner no-hitter in history.
And that pitch was like up around the guy's shoulders.
It was.
Yep. High heat. Take a seat.
Really high heat. Fast forward to a game that took place here at Safeco Field in the, I believe it was August of 2012,
That's
Felix
right.
Hernandez.
One strike away from baseball history. Hernandez looks in, the windup, and the 2-2 pitch. Strike three called. Felix Hernandez pumps his arms in the air. Felix has just thrown the first perfect game in Seattle Mariners history. He's being mobbed by his teammates behind the mound. He's done it. Felix Hernandez, a no-hit perfect game.
Awesome. I was out there for that one. It was an amazing environment to be part of. Even though the team at that point was
dead,
below 500, they weren't really playing for They weren't positioning for anything, but that what a great moment.
Has Paxton's no-hitter beat any of these yet?
Man, we're so used to hearing the other ones, and they meant so much at the time. I mean, obviously, 95 is tough to beat because of what was on the line, how improbable it was.
It's going to beat Randy's no-hitter. I think
the first one in franchise
history? Yeah, maybe not right this second, but depending on how this season turns out, if Paxton has the type of year we think he can have, I think the context of it changes a little bit.
Well, what about this one?
2-1 pitch, ground ball over the middle, charged by Bisquel, bare hands of a no-hitter.
Chris Bosio.
It's better than that one.
God, that play is amazing when you see it. It's like the.
Well, it's a better call by Niehaus. I don't know whose call that was.
I don't either.
Yeah, because that Niehaus, may have even Niehaus been the Red Sox did a great call. Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah, I couldn't find the other one.
Here's another moment from 2012.
The 0-1 on the way, swinging a ground ball, Ackley at second. He's got it. The throw to first. It's over. The Mariners have a combined no-hitter. Six pitchers combined to throw a no-hitter here at Safeco Field. And they're going crazy at the corner of Dave Niehaus Way and Edgar Martinez Drive.
Was that Blowers?
I think it's Hendu.
Is that Hendu?
I think it's Hendu, too.
Is he laughing? Okay.
And some of the other cuts from that night I noticed were Hendu cuts in there. So,
yeah, okay. Yeah,
rest in peace.
How about Mike Cameron? I remember this game. This was in Chicago. Mike Cameron putting on an offensive display.
And that pitch is hit to deep center field. That goes Lofton to the track, to the wall. Cameron has done it. My, oh, my. Mike Cameron becomes only the fifth man in Major League history to hit four home runs in four consecutive at-bats. And a standing ovation here in Chicago for Mike Cameron, a career night.
Good stuff.
Talk about an exclusive club.
Yeah.
At the time he did it, five guys in baseball history.
You know what's funny about that is that
four at-bats.
The guys that have done it, like Mark Whitten and Mike Cameron, those are good players, or Cameron was a good player, good hitter. But they're not the type of guys you would think would be hitting four home runs in a game.
Hard-hitting Mark Whitten?
I mean, for that day, yeah.
Sure was that day.
How about
12 ribbies that day, too.
How about Ichiro setting records?
And a ground ball back up the middle, and there it is. He's a new all-time hit king in Major League history, number 258. My, oh, my.
He was thinking about Tom Brady when he was circling the bases.
I hope Tom Brady's watching right now.
He's saying that Brady kid's going to be something one day. Let's take you back.
That was breaking a record, by the way, set in, I think, 23.
Yeah, do you think he knew who George Sisler was?
He did. He made it a point of finding out who he was.
Okay.
And actually, I think, if I remember right, after the season, went and visited his grave.
Wow.
And made it a point of contacting his family.
Very cool.
That's pretty cool. That's very cool on his part.
How about another moment from Edgar in 1995?
John Wetland, more time set. And here comes the 2-2 pitch to Edgar Martinez down. The fastball swung on and hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back, and it is. Get out the rye bread and the mustard this time, Grandma. It is a grand salami. And the Mariners lead it 10-6. I don't believe it.
Ooh, I got chills.
First time Niehaus brought out the mustard on that call.
That was the original
one.
You used to always do grand salami time. Get out the rye bread, Grandma. The first time he added mustard.
To the sandwich?
Yeah. That was such a great series.
Oh, man.
That was such a great series.
How about another no-hitter, courtesy of Hisashi Iwakuma?
The windup and the pitch on the way. Parra with a swing and a fly ball. Left center field. On the run, Jackson. He makes the catch. A no-hitter. For Hisashi Iwakuma. Iwakuma being mobbed out at the mound. The fifth no-hitter in Mariners history. Hisashi Iwakuma has done it.
So there you go. There was number five, number six last night.
Yeah.
That was another September one, right?
It was. I think it was in July or August.
Oh, was? Okay.
They were below 500.
They were basically out.
Okay.
But as they were showing the highlights of that one last night, it did get me thinking. It'd be nice to see him again.
Definitely.
If he were healthy and able to contribute and able to throw more than 84 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care if he throws 84, if he can figure out a way to get guys out.
He's got his control.
It's going to be tough to do, though, at 84 miles an hour.
Yeah, you got to pinpoint.
Yes, Jamie Moyer.
But it can be done.
Yes.
And he's the sort of guy who could do it. Yes, I think he might be. I still hold out hope that he's going to be a late season addition.
I do, too.
Another golden moment from Ken Griffey Jr.
Fly ball into
to deep left center field. Griffey going back to the warning track, leaps high in the air, and he's got it! An incredible catch by the kid! He takes away a home run from Jesse Barfield, climbing the wall in left center field in Death Valley here at Yankee Stadium.
Look at Barfield, he's stunned. He's standing there with his hands on his head. I don't believe it.
He went up about 4 feet above where that wall.
Oh, yeah, it was incredible, that one. And then the huge grin on his face when he's running in.
That was awesome.
That, to me, is the iconic Griffey moment. Just as, in terms of when I think of him, I think of that smile in that moment. That's the one.
That one and then the smile at home plate.
Yeah.
After he scored.
The slide at home.
But same thing, smile.
Right.
How about Carlos Guillen in 2000?
Pitch on the way to Carlos. There's a bunt up the first baseline. The Mariners are on their way to the American League Championship. A beautiful bunt by Carlos Guillen. The Mariners sweep the Chicago White Sox. My, oh, my. I don't believe it.
That's a forgotten great moment.
Oh, that was huge.
It was, and it was just, I mean, just by the nature of it being a bunt. But it was totally huge.
Yeah.
How about a gigantic play?
Yeah, that was a series I didn't think they'd win. I thought that Chicago was going to roll through them. And as it turned out, the Mariners were pretty hot, I guess, in September going into that. And they just steamrolled them three in a row.
2009, Ken Griffey Jr. again.
The fans hoping to catch a little bit of the old-time religion right here, baby. With Jr. stepping up to the plate. Here comes the stretch. And the pitch to Jr. on the way. Swing and a fly ball into deep right center field. That baby is going to be fly away. The old-time religion lives. Junior does it. A two-run home run. And we are tied at 3-3. My, oh, my.
There you go. There's a dose of Mariner history. We've still got a couple left. We'll play for you in a little bit. But
does Paxton beat any of those?
Yeah.
He beats, I think, the last Griffey home run. There.
Sure.
Yeah, probably. I mean, again, we've lived with these moments for so long. So they feel bigger. They feel more present. They're just
give it a little time.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is. Sure. We'll see what it is. It potentially is one of the biggest moments if it signals the start of James Paxton's Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, it beats Bazio's no hitter, I think, right now. I'm just going to put that out there.
All right. Well, there you go. There's a little Mariner history for you, talking about big moments in the history of this organization, and it took place last night. We'll recap what we opened the show with. Coming up with the halftime show next with Bob Gross and Tom.
Hey, this is Danny O'Neill from the Danny Dave and Moore Show. Thank you for listening to the Bob Gross and Tom Show. I'd really appreciate it if you checked out Danny, Dave, and Moore every afternoon from 3 to 7. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
It's time for the Halftime Show.
The half is not over.
Presented by VenueKings.com.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The Halftime Show. It's not easy.
Now, here's Bob, Gross, and Tom.
It is the Halftime Show here with Bob Gross and Tom. We retrace our steps, talk about the biggest stories of the day that we opened the show with. By the way, a ton of texts coming in. People love that segment.
Good, I'm glad. That.
People say, I'm crying, I'm in my car, I'm crying.
Good times, baby.
Carlos Guillen makes me cry.
Except for one person. Can we please stop playing the Edgar double? Gets less and less impactful with each playing.
Well, that's
don't agree.
No.
Don't agree.
No. We won't stop playing.
That's the number one. If we're going to talk about all-time great moments, you can't have a segment like that without at least acknowledging it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you can't.
It'll continue to get played. All right. Sorry about that.
And most people aren't tired of it.
And we still had more to go.
Yeah, we'll get to those. But what led to all of this, obviously, in case you just came back into town, you're out of town somewhere.
I think people even were out of town heard about it, Bob.
You think? Yeah, do they know who Tom Brady is? All right.
I think that's got to be our go-to line from now on. Yeah, but do they know who Tom Brady is?
Last night, game one of the series between the Mariners and the Toronto Blue Jays ended with a gem from the entire team. James Paxton, a no-hitter. Defense was spectacular. Here's how the ending sounded.
Paxton ready. Here's the windup and the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a one-out for the third. Seager's got it. Toss across. Ball game is over. James Paxton has just thrown a no-hitter. The big lefty is getting mobbed out of the mound. The lefty from Lander, British Columbia has thrown the sixth no-hitter in the history of the Seattle Mariners franchise. The young man from British Columbia throws a no-hitter against the Blue Jays. north of the border here at Rogers Center in Toronto.
What an awesome, awesome game. And in case you missed it, I mean, you had spectacular defense throughout the game from a number of most notably Kyle Seager, who saved the game. I mean, that was the best play of the game, but I thought D. Gordon was fantastic dealing with the lights in the outfield, some hard hit balls at him, Ben Gamel, Ryan Healy. Segura made some great throws. I mean, it was a true team effort, and Zunino called a great game. And, by the way, the offense came up with 5 runs.
They did. Now, if Seager had fielded that ball cleanly but had thrown it away or something, because he wasn't really looking at where he was throwing it, right, would they have counted that as an error?
Probably.
Okay, so it still would have been a no-hitter.
Yeah.
That would have been a tough call. That would have been a tough call, considering...
I think if he fires it into the stands or something.
It was such a difficult play to make in the first place. They might have called... That's possible they would have called that a hit, just because... I mean, the fact that he stopped it was pretty unbelievable.
Well, they gave an error to Smoke, who had a... It wasn't hit as hard, but he bobbled it, made a throw that went awry, right?
No, I'm just saying...
So they scored that in error.
It's possible.
It is possible. Look, they wouldn't give him an error for... misplaying the ball as it's hit.
Now, look, if Paxton were a Blue Jay, would have been an error.
Yeah.
If Paxton were a Blue Jay.
They'd keep the no-hitter intact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hometown
scorer.
If he had thrown it away, regardless.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was just, I mean, all the way around. All the way around.
Well, it was a great game. They're 20-14. They're one game out of first, playing extremely good baseball. And as Scott Servais said to us a little while ago, I mean, now win the series.
Yeah.
Keep on moving.
It was, you talk about getting the series off and the road trip off to a fantastic start. How do you top that?
Can't. Unless Wade LeBlanc does the same thing.
Story number two. That led us to sort of recapping great Mariner moments. And we've just played a whole bunch of highlights. And sorry if you missed them, but there was a whole bunch of them. But we've got 3 left.
Go for it, man.
We've got 3 left. All right, so let's go to 2001, which was a spectacular regular season for this team.
To the plate with the 0-2 to A-Rod. Swing! And a foul tip into the glove of Dan Wilson, who hangs on to it. And no baseball team in history has ever won more games than the Seattle Mariners.
116 wins.
I didn't realize A-Rod was the last out of that game.
I didn't either. That's...
How about that?
Fitting in a way.
That's his first year away.
Yes, it
Texas.
Was.
Yeah.
Weird.
There you go. So that's 2001, and then you go to one we've heard quite a bit, and it does not get old. This is Ichiro putting on a show from the outfield.
Terrence Long is lead over at first. Here comes a 3-2 pitch on the way. Swung on and a ground ball punched into right field for a base hit. So heading to third base is Long. The throw to third base, and they've got him nailed at third base. What a tremendous throw by Ichiro! I'm here to tell you that Ichiro threw something out of Star Wars down there at third base. He fired a shot about 3 feet off the ground all the way on the fly to David Bell, and Terrence Long was D-O-A. What a throw.
Completely unexpected, as you could tell by the call there.
Yeah, he's just casually.
Routine first to third. There's no way they're going to even... A lot of guys don't even make that throw.
That thing was on a rope, man. That was a laser.
Are you guys surprised that Niehaus knew what Star Wars was?
A little bit.
No, but did he know who Tom Brady was?
That's what I'm asking. I guess he'd have been a lot younger when it came out. Originally.
Yeah, that's 2001 that happened, right?
Right.
Right. But the original Star Wars was 20 years before that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then, of course, the one that's going to be really tough.
We don't have to play
Yeah, this. Tom wanted this.
Play it.
A golden moment in the history of this organization. You've heard everything that led up to this. This is the culmination of great Mariner moments right here.
The 1-1 on the way, swing and a fly ball into right field and deep.
Boom.
Martinez going back. Goodbye, baseball. Grandma, get out the rye bread and mustard. It is grand salami time. Holy smokes. Franklin Gutierrez with a pinch hit. Grand slam here in the top of the eighth inning. And the Mariners now lead by a score of 11-8. Can you believe it?
Nope.
Now, when that first happened, where did you originally have this in their all-time? Because I remember we went through a big list. Were you here, Curtis, when we did that?
It was NASA. NASA was back there making the list. I said it was top 25. And we just...
You didn't have it higher?
Well, We just gave you 17 other highlights, right? Now, the question is, could you come up with eight more that are better than that?
Probably.
Maybe.
Tom sticking to his guns on that
one. It was still a good moment.
It was a great moment because it was a guy who hadn't played in about 2 years because he was just sick with God knows what illness. Nobody really knew for a while. And when he came back, he wasn't really doing anything. What?
Ankylosing spondylitis.
Okay. And then he hits this grand slam, and it was a great moment for that, you know, for that day.
It was a great moment for that day, yes. For sure. It's the best moment of the game.
It was the worst. Right. It was the worst
in a pitcher's
on this
duel,
list.
11-8 at that point.
By the way, I got a great, great trivia question that the guys just asked me in the control room back there. We'll do it next segment. But
That's a good tease right there.
Yeah.
All right. We also will answer your questions. Have an Opinion Already is coming up, so if you've got a question, we've got an answer for you. Just text in that question to 710-710, the Coors Light text line. Any topic, any subject is fair game. We're doing that next with Bob Gross and Tom.
You're listening to Bob Gross and Tom.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
This is Have an Opinion Already on the Bob Gross and Tom Show. Three loudmouths, three questions, and one giant tub of hand sanitizer. Right, Bob? Let's get it on.
Let's get it on, baby. This me.
Nope. Try again.
Let's get it on.
Question one.
I want to do my trivia question first for you guys. Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Name in order all the catchers involved in the Mariner no-hitters. There's six of them.
Scott Bradley's the first.
One.
Zunino.
No.
Well, he's the sixth, yeah.
Well, oh, you want him in order. I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter. I mean, sure. He's the sixth.
So Bosio is the next no-hitter, right?
He's the next one.
Dave Valley?
That's right.
Yeah, 93.
That's two. Number three is going to be the combined no-hitter.
Oh, man.
You guys aren't going to get this one.
All right. And I won't even try.
Well, I mean, I'll give you a clue.
Carlton Fisk?
No, he was involved in
Tom Brady?
Who? He was involved in a pretty darn significant trade before the 2012 season.
That doesn't help me.
With the Yankees.
Montero.
Yeah. Jesus Montero. I forgot that he ever even
caught that game?
I forgot he was ever even a catcher here.
Now that you say that, they played the highlights last night. I remember thinking, hey, there's Jesus with the catcher's gear on.
No kidding.
Totally forgot about that.
All right, so that's three. Four is the perfect game. You'll probably get it if I say this, but he was a big-time clutch hitter for that year, as I remember. He always got key hits. I love this guy. I think he has dreadlocks now.
Oh, Jaso.
John Jaso.
That's right.
Jaso.
Number five was Iwakuma in 2015. This will be the last one.
I mean,
this guy's also known, I believe, for his pitching heroics.
Oh.
He's been here more than once.
Oh, come on, man. How can I know the old guys, not this guy?
Nickname Sweet Jesus. Jesus.
Sucre.
Oh, Sucre. Oh. I forgot all about that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are your Mariner catchers.
Not really a who's who.
Not exactly. Zunino's probably the best of that group.
Well, Valley was pretty good. Wasn't a good hitter, but he had a great career.
You have a great career?
Had a good
career.
A 10-year career.
Yeah, all right. I guess that's longer than Zunino so far.
It is.
Where's my questions? Oh, where does the 2016 comeback in San Diego rank on the list? The M's trailed 12-2 after the fifth and won 16-13. That was a pretty darn good one, too.
Yeah, that would be on that list.
I mean, if we expanded the list up to like 30, that'd be in there. Have there ever been back-to-back no-hitters?
No.
Back-to-back games?
There's been a guy who's pitched back-to-back no-hitters.
What year was that?
Like in the 40s.
Vandermeer?
I'd say 47, 46, something like that. Johnny Vandermeer.
That'd be pretty remarkable if Paxton and Wade LeBlanc went back-to-back and no-hitters.
It'd be even more remarkable that it was Wade LeBlanc.
Yeah, and if he threw a complete game, that'd be remarkable.
Oh, it would be on that list.
What's the worst question anybody's ever texted that you've actually answered?
That's it, right there.
The one that we just read.
What would you say, Tom? You're the one who reads them on the air.
The answer to that question, the worst text no, we've...
Yeah.
I don't know. We've answered a lot of questions.
We've answered thousands of them. Hundreds of thousands, Grizz.
In our 45 years on the air?
Hey, what's the Sherry's Berries promo code again? Thanks in advance. It's Cairo AM, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Who's your all-time Mariners starting rotation? And on a side note, do you think any of them know who Tom Brady is?
Randy Johnson, Felix Hernandez, Jamie Moyer, Freddie Garcia.
Put Langston in there. Did he win 20 games one year?
No, not for the Mariners.
He led the league in strikeouts, though.
Yeah, he's pretty good pitcher. At
yeah, he
time.
Could be your fifth starter.
Freddie Garcia. What about any of the other guys, like Seeley or...
No.
No.
Yeah, I mean, Freddie started an all-star game.
Paul Evan.
Bob Moyer, Moyer had a ton of wins.
Yeah. I'd put Iwakuma might be like sixth or seventh on that list.
Might be, but I think you probably wouldn't get much of an argument about those five if you made Langston the fifth.
Probably not.
People asking where they can hear that again, the trip around memory lane, the top highlights. It'll be available on the podcast page after the show. Just go to 710sports.com and click the podcast button and click on our picture. It'll be up there for you.
You mean where you can hear the Franklin Gutierrez Grand Slam?
That was in the
Basically,
next
that
segment.
Was the question.
That's what they wanted to know. All right, we're done here.
That was it?
Yeah.
All right.
Blower's time.
What are we going to talk to him about?
We'll think of something.
All right.
Maybe Tom Brady.
We'll see if he knows who Tom Brady
is.
You
know who Tom Brady is.
We'll talk to Mike Blowers coming up with Bob Gross and Tom.